DMA Roberts Station Studio. We're listening to Dancing Moon from the Orchid Ensemble. Find out more at orchidensemble.com. Today we feature two new premiere productions at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. First up, we talk with Jessica Coe, who plays a vengeful ghost in the U.S. premiere of the play Snow in Midsummer by Francis Yachu Kawig. It's adapted from a classical Chinese drama about injustice and trauma. Then playwright Idris Goodwin returns to talk about his world premiere play, The Way the Mountain Moved. This work explores some of the untold stories that led to the genesis of the building of the Transcontinental Railroad. Both shows run through October 27th and 28th at OSF. Find out more at osfashland.org. But we're going to explore two new plays right now on Stage and Studio. I'm DMA Roberts. Snow in Midsummer by Francis Yachu Kawig is adapted from a classical Chinese play. It's about a young woman who swears vengeance before her wrongful execution. She curses her city from beyond the grave, and they face a catastrophic drought. 3 years later, a wealthy businesswoman visits the parched, locust-plagued city where her young daughter is tormented by a mysterious apparition. With us via the phone right now, live, is the apparition herself, actress Jessica Coe at Oregon Shakespeare Festival. Hi. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning.
It's almost like you're an apparition in our ears right now.
I know.
That's awesome. Like well, this is your second season with OSF, and I'm looking forward to seeing your show. I don't know if you could tell, I got kind of sick, so I couldn't get down there when I wanted to. But now I'm planning to pretty soon, but Snow in Midsummer, I'm so excited about it. I wanted to also tell you how much I enjoyed your performance as the shapeshifter in last season's show, Hannah and the Dread Gazebo. You've taken on another. Is this kind of your thing, the supernatural type role?
I mean, I guess so. I guess they look at me like, yeah, you can play a ghost.
There must be something about you that's so supernatural. We have to cast you. But you were in Snow in Midsummer, you're a frightening and vengeful ghost. Would you tell us about your role?
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly how you summarized it beautifully, actually, that I was I'm playing Do Yi, who was living in this town in China with her mother-in-law, and she eventually is framed for murder and executed, and then she comes back as a ghost, but actually wasn't able to come back for 3 years until the businesswoman who came back into town, her daughter, really believes in superstitions and ghosts and you know, all the stories about them, and starts to give offerings to the spirit, and unwittingly, I guess, unlocks, I guess, the spiritual prison that Do Yi has been living in, because she hasn't actually been fed offerings by her mother-in-law or anyone, really, because this whole town has shunned her name because she has been, you know, accused of this murder of a power official in town. And so, yeah, this whole story is just me coming back and trying to make sure that justice is being served and, you know, my name is cleared and, you know, that I will be able to be buried as well, because, you know, as a result of being executed, that my body parts get shipped out to various parts of the world.
Wow.
This is
a tragic story. I mean, but yeah. it's adapted from a much longer classical Chinese drama, because back in the day it was like Shakespeare, the dramas were like all day and people could kind of check in, check out and have, you know, a little picnic while they're watching this, you know, this story about an execution. But, you know, but those were the days, right? But it's much shorter now. It's basically a 2-hour play. But how has it been updated for a modern perspective from your point of view?
It's very different. You know, Francis took the basic elements of the stories, but then, and especially the attributes of Do Yi, and actually created some new characters and adapted some others. There was always a father and son that came and, you know, wronged Do Yi, but now the son in this story is also, you'll find, has his own tragic story as well. And actually, given Do Yi's original attributes of being very much in love with his partner, Rocket Wu. And actually, I think if a Chinese person or someone who grew up with the story comes to see our show, they're going to realize that it's actually not really the story at all. And it's been modernized, too. It's set in modern-day China, in a factory town. So it's definitely a different kind of take on it.
Well, it also sounds like it's just been adapted also for the modern, you know, for us right now, you know, how we're living in contemporary America.
Absolutely.
I'm Dimae Roberts, stage and studio, talking with actress Jessica Koh at Oregon Shakespeare Festival about her role in Snow in Midsummer, in which she plays a ghost. And Jessica, I want to talk about ghosts. My mom, mm-hmm. Taiwanese immigrant, told me Chinese ghost stories when I was growing up, and she believed them, you know? And so I do have fear, you know, and a lot of respect for ghost mythology. Did you have the ghost stories when you were growing up?
I did. I mean, you know, I'm Korean American, and I definitely grew up with these Asian ghost stories and films. And I would go to Korea as a kid, and all my cousins would make me and my brother watch these really horrible.
Oh, they're the worst. I mean, they're scarier than you know, like zombie films. I think, you know.
Oh my gosh, it gave me nightmares.
Me too.
I could not. I was also, you know, believed in these stories.
That's the problem.
Yeah, I would sleep with the light on for a while.
I know. You know, because, like, especially even you have to make sure the shadows aren't too big either, you know, with the light on.
Yep.
Yeah, so I think that is, you know, that is a thing, the Asian ghost story, isn't it? I mean, it is.
And, you know, Frances was really interested in bringing those elements in as well. And I think she beautifully weaves in a thriller, you know, a ghost story and a suspenseful thriller in this as well. And so it's not just, I mean, yes, it's very intense and there's a lot of dramatic elements, but it's also, it keeps the audience on their toes like you would watch a ghost story, a mystery, you know.
Well, I had some Asian American friends go and they said it was pretty scary sometimes.
Oh, really?
So I believe you. I believe you. But, you know, it's also like the Asian ghost thing is scary to us, you know, so it's so cultural. Has, you know, knowing that and, you know, working with that in the last few months, has it affected you and maybe some of the other cast members during the rehearsal and run of the show? I mean, have you talked about like things you've seen, you know, that may or may not be real?
I mean, I think we all kind of were talking about that a little bit, but for the most part, I think, you know, we try to say, tell ourselves what to play, but we'll, you know, we're also going to make sure that we are very respectful of things. And a cast member actually, I think, gave me a jade stone to protect me from any energies. Which
good.
Sweet. Yeah.
Yeah, that's important. It's important to have your talismans. How have audiences been receiving and reacting your performance and just performance in general of Snow in Midsummer?
Oh gosh, it's been really wonderful, actually. It's a little bit overwhelming because I definitely get stopped on the street a lot more. And,
they recognize you. They actually do recognize you? Okay.
They do recognize me. Well, I come out in the beginning just as myself. So you see
I'm
a ghost. And so, you know, eventually, you know, you definitely see my actual face. I'm not just the vengeful Asian ghost. With stringy hair, but yeah, and everyone has just been so moved by our production, and yeah, they always tell me that I was really scared by you, but I think it also, you know, not only they feel like they've watched, you know, a wonderful production with great acting and a great story, but also it really resonated with them because I think the themes of the play are very relevant for today, and not just if you're, you know, Asian American or Asian or from China. We start the play actually with me giving a curtain speech, and we mention that. I remind everyone that, you know, the themes of this play, that it's about injustices being done to land and people, and the fact that it actually happens everywhere, and that we're not exempt from it, and we. Right in Oregon, in Ashland, Oregon, we are actually sitting and standing on occupied land that was originally the traditional lands of the Shasta and Tacoma people. And so I love that because Frances actually wrote that the day of our first dress, and it beautifully brings the audience into the whole story and the world, and to also remind all of us that, you know, we're not just watching a story from a long time ago or even from another culture. We're watching our own stories as well.
Yeah, because it keeps happening, doesn't it? All of the themes.
Yeah, it really does.
I'm wondering, what other shows are you at in at OSF this season?
I'm also in Henry V. Yeah.
And in a completely different role.
And it's interesting. I get to play a French princess. I speak French in it. And I play a boy.
Oh, you're Catherine. You're Catherine then?
Yeah, I'm Catherine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Aw, how lovely. That's a wonderful role.
Because
you speak French. That's it. That's it for the whole show, right? You're French.
As Catherine, I only speak French. For the last scene, I speak some English with Henry. And then, but I'm also the boy and Montjoy, and they speak English.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so I get to play all these different characters this year, which is really, you know, such a joy to do.
Do you know if you're coming back next season, or has that been worked out yet?
I do know. I mean, contracts haven't been signed yet. I don't know, but I am going to come back.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So I know you can't announce. You can't announce anything.
No, I just did.
Oh, you did. What are you playing?
I just did it. But Rosalind and As You Like It.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations! That's wonderful. I mean, in the time remaining, you know, your career has really been taking off in the last couple years. One of my friends who saw your performance was wondering what your dream roles would be if you could perform anything you wanted.
Oh wow! Well, for the stage, I've always wanted to play Margaret through the ages from in Henry VI, Part 1, 2, and 3. She actually starts out as a young French princess, too, and then morphs into this warrior queen. And then becomes an old witch. Actually, she continues on into Richard III. And that's something that I've always dreamt about playing. And, you know, I feel like also for the future, I love new plays, and you know, hopefully in the future I'll be able to dip my toe into some film and TV and be able to, you know, work on some things in that arena. That would be very nice. Yeah.
Well, it's been wonderful talking with you. I'm very happy for you, and congrats on everything, Jessica Coe. Thanks for joining us from Oregon Shakespeare Festival, and enjoy the rest of the run. I'm looking forward to seeing your show.
All right. Great. Thank you.
You take care.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Snow in Midsummer by Frances Yachu Kawig runs through October 27th at the OSF at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. More info at osfashland.org. And I have also that info and all the links at kboo.fm/stageandstudio and stageandstudio.org. Now, up next, I'm looking forward to this. We're going to be talking with playwright Idris Goodwin. Don't go anywhere. I'm Dee Mae Roberts, Stage and Studio. There are so many untold stories of people of color in the American West, and as part of Oregon Shakespeare Festival's American Revolutions project, they tell these stories. And acclaimed playwright Idris Goodwin has created a world premiere play called The Way the Mountain Moved. It focuses on lost pioneers, cautious Native Americans, and an African-American Mormon couple, each on their own separate journey through a remote desert in the American West. And this play explores the genesis of the Transcontinental Railroad. And so with me on the phone is Idris Goodwin himself. Idris, welcome to Stage and Studio Live.
What's up, Dee Mae? How are you?
Oh, it's good to hear your voice again. It's great. I'm doing well.
Yeah, what's going on?
Well, what's going on is we're going to talk about your play, which, you know, I'm eager to see. It's The Way the Mountain Moved. I'm just curious, you know, it's a very epic tale with so many different characters and telling various stories. Where did the idea come from for The Way the Mountain Moved, and how long ago was that?
So you know what? It's kind of crazy. So on opening night, I'm going to work backwards. So on opening night, which was July 14th, 2018, you know, there's always a toast from artistic director Bill Rausch, and it's really warm and fuzzy. And I, you know, was like, I got to figure out something cool to say for my toast. And so I was sitting down with my dramaturg, Laura Breckner. And, you know, dramaturgs are great to have around because they help you figure stuff out. And I'm like, yo, I don't know what to say at this toast. And superstar dramaturg Laura Brechner said, well, you should go back to the first email you ever sent. Like, what was your original pitch, your original proposal for the idea? I said, that's a great idea, superstar, rock star, dramaturg Laura Brechner. So I did that. I went through the old emails, and I read what I initially proposed. And so, like, initially I was really interested in the railroads, you know, and I was thinking more, like, about the building of them, like, after the Civil War. And in my research, I found that before the Civil War, there was a concerted effort to explore the possibility of a transcontinental railroad. And so the Department of War, which at the time was run by Jefferson Davis, who would represent the South during the Civil War, he sent a bunch of different survey teams into the West to assess the feasibility of such an endeavor. And he sent them all along these different parallels. And it was groups of scientists, it was groups of soldiers to protect the scientists and topographical engineers, but also artists, because photography didn't exist really. And so they would draw and sketch everything, birds, landscapes, like everything. And so when I found this fact, I found out there's also these reports, these firsthand reports, documents, like journal entries. So for a writer, that's like gold, you know what I mean? And so I was like, I'm going to make a play about what, like, once upon a time of one of those survey teams, but I'm not going to, like, really be historical with a capital H. I'm going to sort of create historical fiction, so to speak, about what would happen if one, you know, like, one of those teams, because this is all from an American, from a quote-unquote, you know, United States of American perspective. This is unknown land. This is them going into a new world, which, you know, if you think about Western expansion, you know, as they went west, they're sort of seeing things for the first time. And so as a writer, to kind of think about that perspective, but then also from the perspective of the folks who were there, who suddenly see these almost alien-like people, like, coming into their thing, it just seemed right for drama for me. And so I looked at the date of that initial email that I sent, and it was exactly to the day 4 years. It was July 14th, 2014, that
wow.
I sent that initial proposal to OSF, and then it opened exactly 4 years later.
How does that happen? Serendipity, huh? That's amazing.
Universal.
Yeah. It was meant to be. So the way the mountain moved, I thought that was interesting that there were characters like an African-American Mormon couple. Would you tell us the history behind that?
Well, sort of as I dug into the research, you know, I just discovered that, you know, around the time that these survey teams were out here, you also have the ending of the Mexican-American War, which is huge and significant, because now all of these territories suddenly are, you know, part
American,
of the United States of America.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean? But so that's one. And then you also have, you know, these different indigenous communities that have been there for centuries. But then also you have all of these displaced indigenous communities from further east and the southeast that are now pushed out there
from
as
the
well.
Trail of Tears, right.
From the Trail of Tears, et cetera, right? And then you also have the Latter-day Saints who were expelled from their built a city for themselves in Illinois, and they got pushed out of there. So they're showing up around the same time and landing in Salt Lake City, Utah. And so I was like, oh my gosh, like there's just all these communities, all this change. And it, one of the first sort of groups they sent out to kind of help clear the path were these African Americans. There's a guy named Green Flake and his wife who were black Mormons that they sent out initially to kind of do the initial like clearing of the path.
Wow.
And so, yeah, man, it's
history. Well, I didn't even think there were black Mormons at the time. I mean, you know, that's, I don't know how, you know, yeah, it just was kind of interesting to me to think about.
Yeah, well, the play gets into that. Yeah, the play gets into that. It gets into like, you know, I mean, and really the whole point of the play is just like there's this narrative that we got fed, right?
That isn't real, right?
That isn't real. Or just like what we, like, it's always been diverse. It's always been diverse. And there was a narrative around, so when politicians talk this like America for real Americans malarkey, it's like, yo, we're all real Americans. We've all been here. We've all been here from jump. And even in our digging, too, finding out about, like, Asians that were here.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a Filipino character in the show. Like, you know, it's always been full of the world. And then, and of course, you know, the native communities, like, are expansive and rich and varied and enormous. And, you know, and so it was just, it was a really lofty endeavor to try to distill all of this rich information into just, you know, a 2-hour drama for people, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds epic and yet condensed because, yeah, 2 hours is not a long time to tell all of these different tales, but yet you have Native American, the indigenous communities, too, that you're talking about as characters, you know, in the show, too. Can you tell us about them?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, so in the midst of, you know, any time you sort of have colonialism going on, you know, the ramifications and the reverberations to people whose lives are built around resources like water and food and, you know what I mean? And, and to have those constantly disrupted by this group and then this group. And then, you know, so in the West, it's like first you have the Spanish, right? And then you have, like, you know, the structuring of the Mexican government. And then you have the United States government. And then you have homesteaders who are, you know, enjoying a certain level of white privilege who are just kind of stomping through. And so, you know, for the indigenous communities, it's just a constant barrage of disruption. And then, and not even to mention, now you have other native groups, other indigenous groups that are now also coming through here because,
right,
you know, they're getting
pushed out.
So there are these characters in the show that are just wrestling with the what do we do now question, right? And some are like, let's work with them, let's see what they're talking about, this is the way it's going, you got to evolve. And some people who are like, nah, we got to fight this, we got to stop this, you know. And that really is the sort of a theme throughout all of it, is people with, you know, with visions. It's really about, like, visions and progress and what happens when all of these different visions collide. You know, as a dramatist, I always believe, you know, a good rule of thumb is that every character that you create thinks that their point of view is the right point of view. So that's what, you know, writing, in my opinion, writing effective drama is like, everybody thinks that they're correct. And so it's about what happens when these forces collide. That's where we get the conflict. That's where we get the drama. Yeah.
Well, I'm Demi Roberts, stage and studio, talking with Idris Goodwin, playwright, whose world premiere of The Way the Mountain Moved is running at Oregon Shakespeare Festival right now till October 28th. And you can find out more at osfashland.org. Is the play performing elsewhere? Has there been talk about that going around the country?
You know, little rumblings, but it just got out the gate.
Oh, it's on its feet.
So,
yeah,
I mean, it's on its feet. It's running. People are going to see it. You know, sometimes the you know, this industry moves at a glacial pace.
And then sometimes
it's a very big show.
Right.
It's got a lot of cast, and it's not an easy pill to swallow. I mean, it was a complicated play to write, and it's a complicated play. I think it's a really enjoyable play to watch. I mean, I think not enjoyable in the sense that, like, every moment is fun. It's not a fun, like, you know,
no,
what I mean?
No.
But it's a real meal.
It's, like, a fulfilling,
it's not like
yeah.
audience member.
It's a fulfilling
it's
evening.
It's a real meal.
Yeah, right. Real meal.
Yeah. I mean, it's asking a lot of an audience, I'll say that. But I think it's one of the best things I've ever done.
Oh, and congratulations.
So, and it's brilliantly directed by Maya Drolet.
Oh, yes.
And the whole team, the designers, the OSF in-house folks, like the fight choreography, you know, just it was a real labor of love, to use that overused adage, but it was. And, you know, I'm super proud of it. And but it is by no means... something that you can sort of just go and kind of watch and clap and walk away. You know what I mean?
It haunted me, and
I think it's going to haunt everyone.
Well, that's I think that's wonderful. And Maya Adralis did a wonderful job with Viet Gone 2 seasons ago, and also Chinglish here in Portland at Portland Center Stage. So, I'm sure that it's wonderfully directed. You know, you were talking about sort of the whitewashing of history, where, you know, there's this mythology, you know, where there people of color were not around. So many of the stories of people of color are just not told in history books. And I'm afraid to say it's getting worse, you know, with Betsy DeVos coming in, you know, in charge of educating our children and, you know, sort of rewriting the textbooks now. You know, what What is your response to that, you know, in the importance of telling the stories of people of color?
Oh, man, how much time you got, D-Man?
We only got like a minute, darling, so I'm sorry.
Let me put this at the end. Stories are everything. Stories are how we learn. Before there was such a thing as schools or institution, every culture has their stories. And that is how we define who we are, and that's how we learn who we are, and that's how we learn who we were and learn where we need to go. So stories are everything. So it doesn't matter whatever clown they got. We're always going to tell the real to each other, to one another. And that's where the theater comes in. But beyond that, that's where, you know, novelists, that's where, you know, our spiritual leaders, that's where our community leaders, that's where the radio, the airwaves, we're going to educate each other.
Yeah, we have to work together.
We're going to do it. The community has to do it, you know, and if one area is lacking, then the rest of us got to step up.
Well, you know, you have, you know, the shows that I've seen, your plays, history, you've told history stories of Cassius Clay in the 60s, hip-hop in the 80s, and actually with how we got on, a wonderful actress who was in that here in Portland, Ashley Williams, asked me to ask you how you see American theater changing since you've been working as a playwright. Again, we don't have a lot of time, but what are, you know, like the most important changes? What do you think?
You know, I just think that the kids are now getting the keys. You know, we've gotten, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? It's just a new regime is getting the keys to the car and the keys to the house and all that. They're letting us move out of the basement and up into the house. They're letting us sit at the table. And so we're seeing this change with artistic leadership. I became an artistic director this year. You know, we're seeing artistic directors of color, women, you know, taking the reins of these organizations, and it's only going to continue in that way. And as a result, the definition of a classic is going to continue. Listen, Jessica Coe it's so cool to be on the same show as her, because I think what she's doing as an actor is so inspiring and so tremendous, because she can be formidable playing, you know, this French woman in Henry V, but then equally formidable in Snow and Midsummer, and then equally formidable in anything that you give her. And so it's about expanding. You know, we're not trying to destroy the canon. People love Shakespeare. People love Chekhov, right? But it's like, expand it. Let us in too. Let us also define classics. Let us also create classics, and let us exalt the things that we want to exalt. It's like, yes, Chekhov, but also Lorraine Hansberry, you know, and also David Henry Hwang, and also August Wilson, and also, you know, Ed Bullins, and also Irene Fornes, and also Karen Zacharias, like also
Idris Goodwin. You're going to be an American classic. I predict that too. You know, and exactly. We won't be around to see it. Probably, I know I won't. But you know, kudos to you. People love your plays, and you know, congrats on your artistic directorship, and congrats on this play. I'm going to give all the play info, but thank you so much, Idris Goodwin, for joining me again on Stage and Studio.
Always a pleasure, D-Man. I appreciate the support. Really, I do.
You take care. The Way the Mountain Moved by Idris Goodwin, directed by May Adrales, has its world premiere run through October 28th at the Thomas Theater at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. And get more info on Snow and Midsummer and other plays like the LGBTQ Oklahoma, Manhattan, Multiracial Sense and Sensibility, Othello, and Romeo and Juliet. So many shows at osfashland.org. And I have all that info at kbu.fm/stageandstudio. And stageandstudio.org, where I have the podcast of the show later on today. And that's it for Stage and Studio. Thanks to engineer Ray Bodwill. And like us on facebook.com/stage letter and studio, and tweet me at stage letter and studio. Till next time, I'm D-May Roberts.